This is the Pitch Vision My Cricket Coach Show, number 39. Hi, you're listening to the Pitch Vision My Cricket Coach Show. You can find us at pitchvision.com and email us on mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. My name's David Hinchliffe in the UK.
And I'm Kevin Sampath from Australia. Coming up on the show, Ian Pond shares another fast bowling tip with us. We also have a chat to Mark Costin from the League Cricketers Association. And as usual, we'll answer the listeners' questions. Well, David, it's been a tough week for us Aussies. I don't know if you've watched the Ashes, but I'm sure you didn't miss it. But
I did not miss it, no.
Have there been many celebrations in England? Have you been popping open the 100-year-old wine and pouring it out for everyone?
Not quite yet, no. There's a long way to go yet. There's still three more test matches to go, and none of us are counting our chickens yet. English cricket fans are very, very used to the team giving them false hope.
Yeah, I'm sure the Aussies will come back hard like they always do. So you've been playing on the weekend, David? Played any games, or has it been bad weather?
We finally got a game in. The weather was pretty poor, but it dried up quite nicely. Well, nicely enough for us to get a game in, as you can imagine.
Yeah,
it was pretty wet underfoot, quite slippery, and not the greatest of pitches we've ever played on. We managed to get a full game in.
Yeah.
And even better, sort of, we turned up at the ground and decided, well, you know, this is a pitch where if you get 150, you've got a good score.
Yeah.
And they bowled well to start with, and we were thinking 150 will be quite an achievement. And then they brought on their second line bowling, and they were absolutely terrible. We ended up with 222, scoring 60 off the last five overs. We then proceeded to bowl them out for 89, so we were all done about 30 overs into their innings.
How was your personal performance, David?
Yep, very solid. Conceded four byes, standing up to the medium pacer, who was throwing them down the leg side as much as he could for some reason, and got a stumping to finish the match.
This week we have again Ian Pond, the fast bowling guru, who's also a Pitch Vision Academy coach, and he's here again with a fast bowling tip for us. So let's have a listen to what he has to say.
Hi Ian, welcome back to the show.
Hello, David. Thanks.
Got a question this week from Greg, who sent me a message on Twitter. With the advances in biomechanics in recent years, why have bowling speeds not increased?
I don't think bowling speeds have increased really since probably the 1960s, to be fair. And it's nothing particularly to do with biomechanics. It's nothing particularly to do with diet or nutrition. I think it's to do with the way we coach people. And if I explain that a little bit further, in most sports, we look at the technical side of the sport. So, for example, we take javelin, or we take athletics, or we take shot put, or we take swimming, or we take rowing. Any of those sports, in fact, most of the other power sports, let's say, the coaches are looking at the technical aspect and trying to tweak and improve what we do. So, for example, if someone's rowing a boat a certain way, that person rowing the boat is happy to change the way they row the boat to improve themselves. If someone's running a certain way, a coach will say, well, you're not quite running properly here. You could do this better, this better, this better. That person then goes away with the coach. They work hard at that technique. Unfortunately, for fast bowling, I don't see fast bowlers going away and changing their technique. What tends to happen in cricket is to say, fast bowlers are born, not made, and the action you've got is the action you've got, so let's not mess around with it. And if that rings bells with people listening to this, or a coach saying slow down, try and bowl a line and length, then that's part of the understanding as to why we aren't getting faster as bowlers, because it's not the knowledge that's lacking, it's the application of the knowledge that's lacking. And that's really the only way I can describe it. I mean, from my viewpoint, I'm a speed coach. I teach speed. I teach power, I teach pace and accuracy together. And I'm possibly in that field on my own, which is a sad indictment, really, on teaching fast bowling. I would love there to be fast bowling coaches, and for me, the clue's in the title, fast, who actually went out and taught pace. But what coaches tend to teach is line and length. They tend to teach consistency, or they tend to teach accuracy. All those things are brilliant, and you have to have them because they lead to outcomes. But the biggest thing that affects the outcome is the process, and the process of fast bowling is the technique. So why we aren't having, or why we aren't seeing people bowling faster and faster and faster, is that the bowlers themselves aren't being taught how to do that. You know, if you take 100 meter sprinting, and we've seen Usain Bolt recently smashing world records for fun, if you go back 50 years and look at the 100 meter time that won in the Olympics in the 50s, that person would probably come last in today's 100 metres and may not even qualify for the final. And it's not because everybody's getting bigger and stronger and fitter and healthier, although they are, and it's not so much that the training techniques are getting better and stronger, but because they are. It's the actual physical, technical side of the sport and the skill that's being applied. I don't see that in fast bowling, and although coaches throw around the word biomechanics, which just actually means body movement, as you know, or movement of the body. We still don't apply that, I don't think, to a young lad who's 12 years old who can understand what he needs to do to make that ball go faster to the other end. So we are in a situation that we've always been, David, that until and unless we get a whole raft of coaches who are teaching pace and understand how to teach pace, we're just going to have random success with fast bowlers, and I mean from a pace viewpoint. That's just my view. I mean, I might be wrong on that, but having worked internationally and now at club level and also junior level, I don't meet any other coaches who are out there teaching speed. And it would be like a running coach not teaching you how to run faster, which is just crazy.
If you want coaching from Ian Punt, you can access PitchVision Academy's How to Bowl Faster coaching books on www.pitchvision.com/academy. This week, we're delighted to introduce a new segment in the show. It's called the League Cricket Tips with the League Cricketers Association. The tips will give valuable information regarding the club game for coaches and players on how to play and efficiently run a club. And this week, we got Mark Costin, who's the coach of the Bank of England Cricket Club in the Surrey Championship.
What mistakes do you see players in league cricket make?
There's probably more dropped catches and things than there are in professional cricket. I think things like building innings, people sometimes play rash shots early on because they're just dying to deal bat on ball or whatever, and people maybe sometimes forget how to build an innings. I think often with bowling as well, sometimes people can try too many things early on because they've seen Adam Holyoake on TV bowling eight different slower balls, and they forget that he has had to practice them 9 to 5 every day. I think, and sometimes with preparations and warm-ups and things, you look at some teams' warm-ups and you think, no, that's not great. But I don't think there's any huge standout mistakes that teams make.
What do you see in warm-ups that you think isn't the best?
Just see a lot of teams will just do fielding and then they might win the toss and then go out and do a load of fielding and none of the batters have hit a ball. Often you just get a team doing a load of fielding drills and the bowlers won't turn their arm over. Things like that I often think is a little bit strange. The fielding is you have to do that, but I don't see there's any reason why you can't incorporate the bowlers turning their arm over as well, because if the bowlers bowl well, then the fielders will have to do a lot less fielding.
Very true.
And sometimes things like there'll be no sort of stretching. The teams will turn up and then just go. Some teams will go just straight into the net, and they'll turn up at the ground, just wander over to the net, have a bat and a bowl. And that's it. Not do any fielding, and then you're sort of going, well, that's a bit weird. They should be doing some, and they're going into the nets, and fast bowlers running in and having a bowl without having a warm up first, and that's something that would never happen in the professional game, or shouldn't happen in a professional game, because you know that bowler is an asset, isn't it? He's a valued asset, and if he tears a hamstring or something, that's a very bad thing for the club. Whereas in league cricket, that's not always looked after, because you often don't have a coach saying, right, this is what we're doing for the warm up. Sometimes you've got the captain doing it, who isn't necessarily a coach, who isn't necessarily that worried about it.
So, what would be more of an ideal warm up for you? What type of warm ups do you do with your club side?
Well, to start with, we'll do a lot of movement. So, a run, but not necessarily just a run. We'll do lots of fast movement to start with. So, there'll be some sort of running involved, and then some light-hearted games, like maybe even a game of five-a-side football. But this is sort of you've done your run, you've done maybe a little bit of sideways movement and things, and then you have a bit of a stretch, and maybe a game of five-a-side football, or you play things like hand hockey, where you're throwing balls at the other team's stumps and stuff, and then get together and do some fielding. As a team, and I think it's quite important to start your warm-up as a team rather than go and the batters go and do their batting in the bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you start as a team, get together doing the sort of fitness fielding side of things. Then once you've done the movement, the body's warm and you've had a bit of fun, then split into some groups and do the different types of fielding. So one-handed underarm pickups, two-handed sort of, and then long boundary throws, high catching, flat catching, and a bit of slip catching. None of this has to take very long. You can do sort of 5 minutes on each one.
Yeah.
And then you're probably good to go. And then we normally split the bowlers and the batters up, and then the bowlers will go and have a bowl with the keeper on the outside of the square, and the batters will go and have some throwdowns in the nets. And then the all rounders will have to try and manage it so that they get a bit of both, and that's it really. And then if you're sort of starting at 11 o'clock, we try and make sure that we're finished by 1:45, 1:40, so that we can have a talk about how we're going to do things and people can relax and get a drink, rather than some teams go straight from their warm up onto the field. And there is an argument for that, in that you're warming up, and if you sit still for 15 minutes before the game, you lose that. But I think you do your warm up to get as much mentally focused as anything, and your preparation, and then you go and have your team talk for 10-15 minutes, and then you would obviously go onto the field just before the start of play and get yourself loose again.
If you play league club cricket in the UK, you can join the League Cricketers Association and have your voice heard and save some money. For more information, please visit www.thelca.co.uk. That is www.thelca.co.uk. Welcome to the listeners' question section. This week's theme is batting technique, and as always, you can tap into the wealth of knowledge in Pitch Vision Academy by accessing the batting courses written by Gary Palmer on www.pitchvision.com/academy. David, our first question today is from Jack C, and his question is that he's got a trigger movement where he moves back and across, and his question is, would it help his batting as he's been bowled through the gate a couple of occasions this season? And he says, I've also been told that the swing of my bat isn't perfectly straight through the line when straight or on driving. Would having a more open stance help this? That is, having my back foot on middle and my front foot on middle and leg, would it help his problem? Now, David, batting isn't really my area, but I have seen trigger movements in international cricket as well. And Simon Kadich in the Australian team has sort of a similar trigger movement, but I don't know if he moves back or forward, but does it really help? Because I've heard you talk about trigger movements before, and you've mentioned that it's only important when the bowlers are extremely fast or express quicks. What do you reckon, David?
Yeah, I would say that the whole trigger move thing is a bit of a red herring. He comes in asking about trigger moves, but he actually, I think, he reveals a problem a little bit later on when he says he's got a downswing which isn't straight.
Yeah.
It sort of comes down from an angle rather than coming down in a straight line. Now, if you imagine the line of the ball to be sort of, you know, if you imagine like the Hawkeye or the pitch vision system shows you the ball, you know, the ball leaves a trail behind it.
Yeah.
That's going along in a straight line. Now, obviously, just purely from a physics point of view, if your bat goes along in a straight line in the opposite direction, then you're much more likely to hit the ball, aren't you? Because you're on the path of the ball for a long period of time. We call that the hitting zone. Well, that's what modern coaches call it, which is a good name for it. Now, so if you imagine now your downswing is angled, then the amount of time that the bat is on the path of the ball is massively reduced.
Yeah.
So therefore, you're less likely to hit it. So I think that's the problem. I think the whole trigger move things will probably just cause confusion. Because what you need to have, if you want a good trigger move, I always say, if you want a good trigger move, you've got to get the basics right before you even think about getting doing a trigger move. It's not something you're going to need at most levels. Some people like it because it gets them feeling like they're on the balls of their feet, they're on their toes. But if your technique in your setup is wrong in the first place, then it doesn't matter how good your trigger move is and how much you're on the balls of your feet if your downswing is at an angle. So what I would look at there is, if forget about the trigger move, forget about whether your stance should be open or not. We'll just put all that to one side. Let's have a look, first of all, at how you're standing. Is your head over the off stump when you're in your stance or somewhere around the off stump? Or are you leaning right over to the offside? Yeah. Are you relaxed and comfortable in your stance? Is your head still and your eyes level? Now, again, if you're wobbling about doing something like Simon Katic does, then chances are your head is not going to be still or your eyes are not going to be level because you're throwing yourself all over the place. Now, Katic is a top-level batsman, and he's developed that. That's not something that he was doing. I can pretty much guarantee he wasn't doing that when he was learning to play the game. His coach would have, you know, probably had an aneurysm if he'd seen him do that. And then the next thing I would look at is where's the backswing going? When he picks the bat up, where does it go? Does it go back up over the off stump or around or just outside the off stump, somewhere in that area? Or does it go way out towards gully? Or does it go up back behind him? Does it go back up over the leg stump? Because either of those two, they're very hard. From that position, it's very hard to get the bat back into the right place to play the line of the ball correctly. So I'd look at that. Now, someone like Bradman, say, for example, his back lift went way out to the offside, but then curved back round at the top. So by the time he was swinging the bat back down again, it was coming down straight. It was kind of a rotary type action. That's fine. If that's what he does, not a problem. You know, copying Bradman is not a bad thing to do. But most people will probably be better off not lifting out that wide in the first place, lifting it up fairly straight so that little rotary bit at the top, that little curve around at the top is much smaller, so it's much easier to bring the bat down in a straight line. Then if that's right, if we've managed to correct that, then the next thing is, how is the bat coming down? Is the bat coming down at an angle or is it coming down straight? Where does the toe of the bat finish when you play a check drive off the back foot or the front foot? Does it finish pointing in the direction of the target you want the ball to be hit? If it doesn't, there's a good chance that your downswing wasn't in a straight line. It wasn't on the line of the ball in the first place. So you've had to correct the downswing as you've come down, and you end up, say, for example, pointing the bat towards extra cover when you're trying to hit the ball through mid-off. It's going to make it a lot higher chance of you slicing the ball in and nicking off, if that's what you're doing. So, straight backswing or relatively straight backswing, straight downswing, straight finish position. If that's all straight, chances are you're going to be hitting
just,
the ball
just on the topic
a lot
of
more.
the trigger movement, David, and how you were talking about Simon Cadditt. I just thought I should put it out there that in the recent test as well, where he got out in the second innings, a lot was said about his trigger movement and how his head wasn't stable when he got out. So, as you said, even international players sometimes can't cope with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Cadditt has a certain way of playing, which if you're coaching someone, you don't really want to coach them that way of playing. I mean, it may be that they work out that that is the best way of playing over a period of time, and that's what Cadditt has done. But in terms of helping a player be as good as he can be, you have to get the basics right. You have to have a still head. You have to be watching the ball. You have to have a straight backswing. You have to have a straight downswing. Otherwise, you've got a technical fault, and unless you've got a very good eye, you're not going to get away with it.
Yeah.
The other thing which I didn't mention was that in order to get that swing straight, what you can do is you can... the first thing is that you have to make sure that it's your top hand controlling the shot. You're not letting the bottom hand come in too early, and you're controlling the shot with the top hand. But you can do that by just getting someone to drop a tennis ball, you know, out in front of you. You've probably all seen this drill. Someone stands, you know, roughly half volley length away from you, holding the ball above half volley length. You stand in your stance. They drop the ball, and you hit it on the second bounce.
Yeah.
And then you just hit as many of those as you can to get the feel of what it feels like to bring the bat down in a straight line. And a good way to help with that is when you finish the shot, hold the bat pointing in the direction of where you wanted the ball to hit and hold it there for 2 or 3 seconds in a really exaggerated finish. And that teaches your brain and your body to work together to get into that position when you're doing it out in the middle. So that's a really simple drill you can do, but I think it's really underrated. You know,
yeah.
Because a golfer will groove his swing. A baseball player will groove his swing, but batsmen, for some reason, you know, they don't groove their swing as much as they should. So
yeah.
You know, even a top class player, and I know Gary Palmer's done this with players who have played international cricket. He's just got them hitting tennis balls.
Yeah.
So you don't feel like this is a drill for 8-year-old kids. This is a drill for anyone, as long as you're doing it for the right reason.
All right, our next question is from Josh, and he says, David, I'm a 14-year-old number 3 batsman that is tall and lanky. The problem is that I'm more of a timer and a nudger of the ball, and I need to hit bad balls away more often. I have the hand-eye coordination, but I need to work on hitting the ball and not pushing it to the fielder. I play very straight and love to drive, but I just need to penetrate the field a bit more often. Any tips would be appreciated. Now, David, I have a friend with a similar problem. He's got solid defense, and he's a similar batsman. He's a timer, he's a nudger of the ball, but he can't really penetrate the gaps effectively. And I've been telling him to increase his backlift to get a bit more power into his shots, mm-hmm. but seems to think that isn't the right way to go about it. But what do you reckon in Josh's situation?
I think a high backlift is very important, yeah. That's just physics. The higher you lift the bat up, the faster it's coming down when you make contact with the ball. So, you know, that just makes sense from a physics point of view. What it sounds like is that he isn't timing... He says he's a timer of the ball, but he isn't really timing the ball sweetly, properly. So, you know, it does sound like it's a bit of a timing problem. So how do you correct that? Well, yeah, you're right. It starts with the technique. And just like we were talking about with the drop feeds... It's all about having as long a hitting zone as possible. The longer that hitting zone is, the more power you can get into the shot. Because timing the ball isn't hitting it as hard as you can. As someone said to me once, it's a bit, if you imagine your body is like a car, if you're trying to smash the ball as hard as you can, and do it with poor technique, then what you're effectively doing is putting on the brake and the accelerator at the same time. So you could, that obviously that doesn't work. You just end up spinning the wheels. what you want to do is hit the accelerator as hard as you can, but keep your foot off the brake. So that's what timing is. So the first part of that is definitely technique: a high backswing, a good finish position, getting your body in the right position, getting your hips are very important, getting in the right position. Feet, obviously, but feet and hips are all linked together. And you can do the drop feed drill that we were talking about before. The other thing is it needs to be a swing of the bat rather than so instead of thinking you're striking the ball, you're hitting through the line of the ball, a bit like a golfer hits through the golf ball rather than trying to hit the golf ball. So you do that by being relaxed, taking the brake off. So you can put the accelerator on as hard as you can, but your muscles are relaxed enough to have no tension in them, so you just swing. And that's as long as the technique is correct, then the swing will give you all the power. Just the speed of the bat coming through the line of the ball will give you all the power you need. You don't need to muscle it to the boundary. So how do you get the tension out? Well, we've talked about this last week in our mental toughness. You learn how to recognize tension when it's in your body and then just let it go. And the more you learn how to A, recognize it, and B, let the tension out, the more relaxed you become at the crease. You can do breathing exercises, focus on your breathing. You can learn to recognize when your shoulders get tense. All the things we talked about last week. So if you haven't listened to last week's show, go back and listen to last week's show, and we talk about getting the tension out of your body. Two more things I would say. Learn to pick up length as early as possible. Again, this is something we've talked about before, but the more quickly you can pick up length, and to be honest with you, it's one of those natural things that some people can do better than others, but the more you can improve that skill, because it is a skill, the better you will become at getting into position early. The earlier you can get into position, the more likely you are to time the ball. So try and work on picking up length as early as possible. Now, the best way to do that is to just play against real bowlers. Don't play against a bowling machine, because that can put you off a little bit. Just bat against real bowlers. Bat in the nets, bat in games, bat in friendly matches, bat down the park. Just bat against real bowlers. And the more you do it, the more you're able to pick up length. So you can practice that. And the final thing I would say is get stronger. Get stronger and more powerful, because the more powerful you are, the stronger you are in your muscles, the more force you can put into the ball. And the more force you can put into the ball, with good technique, always with good technique.
All right, our next question is from Mohan David, all the way from India. And he's the cricket coach of Dilip Vengsarkar's Cricket Academy in India. And he says that in any shot, the batsman's shoulder position is the most important, according to him. And he asks you for any drills on how to make shoulder positions for a shot. And he's currently coaching 14-year-old boys, David. So would you have any drills for shoulder position? Would the tennis ball drill, which you mentioned previously, would that be effective for shoulder position as well?
Well, before I answer that, I'm interested in your point of view here. When Mohan says shoulder position is the most important element, do you think that's right?
I think it's a number of things. Shoulder position as well as the head. If he says shoulder position and the head, then I would sort of agree with him, because then your whole body follows your shoulder and your head. But yeah, if it's just the shoulder and your head sort of all over the place, then I wouldn't tend to agree with that. But yeah, I think it's a combination of everything. What do you reckon?
I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, that's what I was driving at. I don't think I agree with Mohan. I don't think that shoulder position is the most important thing. If we're going to pick one thing, then I would say either the hip position of the hips, because the hips are where the power is generated in any sporting endeavor. Power always comes from the hips. So I'd probably say the hips, or maybe the head, because the head is a heavy object at the top of your body. And if you get that wrong, you can be unbalanced and find yourself playing around your pad and all kinds of horrible things like that. But I wouldn't even go so far as to say that it's one thing. Batting is a whole body thing. You know, it starts in your big toe and it finishes at the top of your head. And pretty much every single muscle in between is involved in some way or another in playing a shot. So I've used this analogy before, but it's worth repeating. It's like if you focus on shoulder or head or foot or hip or anything, it's like training your little finger in order to improve your catching ability. It just doesn't work. You can't train an individual finger and expect your catching ability to improve. So you can't drill. You can't have drills for shoulder position, for example, and expect your batting to improve. What you have to do is drill for whole body positions that allow the freest swing of the bat possible. And whether that's playing straight or playing across the line with a cut shot or a pull shot or a hook, all of those types of shots are pretty much about getting your body in the right position as early as possible so you can swing the bat freely. And if you can't swing the bat freely, like, for example, the classic mistake that batsmen make of being too sideways on when they're trying to hit the ball through the onside, they're not opening their body out, so they stay too sideways because they hear cricket is a sideways game. So they stay too sideways on, then they have to hit around their own body. Then again, we go back to hitting zone. That reduces the hitting zone, reduces your chances of scoring runs. Or even hitting the ball, in fact. It could be at LBW, bowled, you know, caught off a leading edge, all kinds of crazy things. So, to me, what it all boils down to is getting your body in the right position to allow free swing of the bat. Now, as you can imagine, there's not sort of one drill where you can say, well, if you do this drill, then that will do it. Because everyone is unique, everyone has their own strengths and weaknesses when it comes to batting. So there's so many drills to correct problems, to help people get their muscle memory correct, to get the body in the right position. Basically all about getting the body in the right position. And all of those drills are located in Pitch Vision Academy and in Gary Palmer's section of Pitch Vision Academy. So the best piece of advice I can give to Mohan is to go to Pitch Vision Academy and have a look at that, because there's no way, you know, on a half-hour podcast, we can possibly go through all the different options. So I'll stick to my main point in saying that batting is a whole-body thing, and don't focus on shoulder or head position. Focus on the whole body getting the right position to have a free swing at the bat.
Yeah, and that's especially important for the under 14 boys he's coaching, isn't there? Because you have to sort of reiterate that into younger players as much as older players. Because if you let the younger players know that the shoulder is the most important, and then that's the only thing they'll be concentrating on. Then later on, when they come to face different kinds of bowling, then they'll realize shoulder isn't the only thing, and it'll be too hard to go back to other ways.
Absolutely, yeah. And there's a risk, of course, as you say, of thinking about the shoulder. So the shoulder position is perfect, but you're not watching the ball anymore. Yeah. You're too busy thinking about the shoulder. And basically, batting is about watching the ball, isn't it? I mean, that's really, you know, the bottom line of batting is, you know, the watching the ball, picking up the line of the length, picking an appropriate shot, and then executing the appropriate shot as technically correctly as possible.
Yeah.
If you do that in that order, then you're going to play a good shot more times than not.
Exactly.
So if you're thinking about your shoulder position, you're not doing that anymore. So yeah, you're right there, Kev. Yeah, it's the wrong focus. Perhaps that's my emphasis.
Well, the question section this week was to reiterate batting technique in cricket. And if you want to bat like a professional and learn the secrets of the pros, you can tap into the wealth of knowledge provided by Pitch Vision Academy. You can access Gary Palmer's batting courses on www.pitchvision.com/academy. Well, before we leave you for today, we'd like to thank CJAX for their fabulous music that livens up the show. And don't forget that you can catch all the articles, updates, forums, anything you hear about on the show on www.pitchvision.com. Stay tuned for our next show on the 31st of July, with the theme being strength and condition. And so if you have any questions or feedback to add to that, or in general, please email us at mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. That's mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. Thanks for listening and hope to see you next time. So signing off from Sydney, Australia, this is Kevin Stamp.
And this is David Hinchliffe in the UK.
The My Cricket Coach Show is a copyright-protected production for Pitch Vision. For more information, please visit pitchvision.com.